Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches. We begin on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, three lines off the bottom of the Amud. So the Romans arrested two great tzaddikim. One was Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, who miraculously was freed, whereas Rabbi Hanani ben Trajan was now taken to the stand, and he was confronted with his presented with his with the accusations leveled against him. Okay, so we have three lines from the bottom. Asihu l'Rabbi Hanani ben Trajan, they brought him in. Amrulei, and they asked him, "Am I come ask us by Eraisa? Why were you learning Torah in defiance of our decrees?" And in contrast to yesterday's story, where he denied it because apparently he was just learning in private, so he could just do away with it. But here, there was no way to get out of it. He was a Rebbe who taught in public, as we're going to see later. He had students around him, you know, in the public eye for all to see. Befarhesia, there was no way to deny this accusation. Amarlu, so he responded straightforward. He says, "Look, that's my job in this world. That's my destiny. Kasher tzivani, Hashem aloikai. I followed Hashem's directive, not yours." Okay, there's no two ways about this now. They just issued a verdict. They condemned him to death. Miyad gozru alav l'sreifa, that he was going to be burnt. Val ishti lahariga, and they condemned his wife to death. Val bito leishev bekupash al zoynes, and to punish his daughter, that she must sit in this kupash al zoynes, in a room, in an area of the immoral women. She has to spend her time in their company. The Gemara now will explain for us why min hashamayim, why is it that he was given these punishments? What was it coming to atone for? What you know, slight sin, so to speak, or a deviation which was considered you know, something serious, very serious for a man of this stature, in which case in heaven these punishments were decreed upon him and upon his family. What did they do wrong? Olav l'sreifa, see, he was meant to be burned, shayahayigem, as Hashem b'siyoisa, because he would express the hidden name of Hashem, yudkei vavkei, or according to Rashi, the more elaborate 42-letter name of Hashem, which is not meant to be spoken out literally, and he did so. And that's why he needed to get this punishment to atone for that. Asks the Gemara, how did he do such a thing? Don't we know there's a Mishnah we learned back in Sanhedrin? It's one of the most severe transgressions and a show of disrespect for Hashem's name. We have a Mishnah, Elu, the following individuals, Shein lahem chelek, la'olam haba, lose their portion in the world to come. Number one, ha'imer ein Torah min hashamayim, one who denies that Torah was given from heaven. Number two, ve'ein tchias ha'mesim min ha'Torah, or that the concept of tchias ha'mesim, resurrection of dead, has no source in the Torah. Abba Shol Omer, he adds yet a third, af ha'hege es Hashem b'siyosav, likewise one who verbalizes Hashem's name outright. So if it's such a severe transgression, how could it be that this great tzaddik would violate this type of thing? L'islami David, he wasn't doing it just, you know, for no good reason. He was doing it for learning purposes, to learn, to teach the accurate, you know, way of expressing it. K'desanya, as we learn in a braisa, that if it's done in a learning context, it takes on a totally different nature. This is with respect to Avodah Zarah. We're not meant to study their ways and familiarize ourselves with the Avodah Zarah, you know, system. But if it's for the sake of Torah, aval atalamid lahavin lahoyros, if you're doing it for the sake of learning, understanding, and teaching it, so that the chachamim, dayanim, can understand their system, understand how to relate to somebody who violates and adheres, you know, to Avodah Zarah, violates the laws of Avodah Zarah and adheres to Avodah Zarah. You have to know what's going on. You have to know to identify exactly what is not Avodah Zarah. So if the intention is for that lofty purpose, then it's okay. So likewise, his intention here was simply to learn and to understand, not for any other sake, certainly not as a show of disrespect to Hashem. Well, if that's the case, then why was he punished for doing so? Elamai Taimi Yanish. The answer is, he should have done it privately. Mishum Hoiges Hashem Befarhesya. Hava, it was in public. And the setting was deemed incorrect, inappropriate for this type of study. So for a man on his level, it was considered such a severe sin, which resulted in this severe punishment. Likewise, his wife was included as well. She was going to be put to death. And again, why? What aver did she do to deserve that? Because she didn't stop him. She didn't protest. She didn't try to prevent her husband from doing the above mentioned violation. Kan Amar, we learn from here, Kol Mishiyesh Biyad Limchis, one who has within his ability to stop a sinner, Ve'ele Moichen, fails to do so, he is held accountable. Nen Hashalom. And finally, Valbito Elisha B'kubah Shal Zoynois, and they punished his daughter as well. And what was that for? Damar B'yichna, due to the following story. Pamachas, it so happens one time, Hoysa B'ito Ma'alechas, F'negdoi Le'iraymi, Rabbi Hanina ben Tradian's daughter was walking along, and it so happens that she was walking in front of the presence of the officers of Rome who were standing by, and they took note of her walk. Amron, they said, "Ooh, kama nois psiyoseh shal rivazu, look how she's walking so nicely. Look how pleasant are her steps." And she took it to heart, so to speak, and she paid more attention. She was more meticulous in the way she was walking, to earn that recognition. And on account of that relatively slight deviation, she suffered terribly. For a person on this stature, is considered a severe sin. And Hashem is more medaktik. Hashem takes it more seriously, so to speak, and seeks to cleanse a tzaddik entirely. And this fits with the following lesson. What does the pasuk in Tehillim mean when it says, the sins of my heels, of my footsteps, surround me? It means, those sins which are committed merely through walking, like the aforementioned incident, or as Rashi learns in a different shot, things that a person just steps on for lack of importance, lack of value, things they don't really appreciate as being important and, you know, too terrible. Those very things are in fact important, and one is held accountable for even those slight things. Mesuban lo yom adin, they surround them, they're present in the yom adin at the day of judgment. Okay, so they condemned all three members of the family, Rabbi Hanina, his Rebbetzin, and his daughter. B'sha'a she'yotzu shloshtam, when they were being taken out, tzidku aleim sadin, they declared their acceptance, their firm belief that in fact it was Hashem running the world, Hashem giving them this punishment, and they expressed their firm belief that it was right and just. Tzidko le misadin. Hu amar, he declared the pasuk atzur tamim pa'alei, Hashem's ways are perfect. Vishtu amar, and his wife responded with the pasuk keil emunah vein aval, Hashem is straight, is trustworthy, is reliable. 100%. There's no crookedness. There's nothing. Unright. B'itai Amra. His daughter also came up with a pasuk. In Yirmiyah, Gadol ha'etza v'rav ha'liliyah. Right? Hashem is the master of design, master of arrangement, master of plan. Asher necha b'kucha is akol darkei. Who takes note of everything that a person does, even his footsteps. Amar Rebbe said, Rebbe, in response, said, how great are these people? How great were these tzaddikim? Kama gdoilim tzaddikim alalu, shenizdamnu alahem sholesh mikrois. They were able to come up with three different psukim that have an expression of shel tziduk hadin, acknowledging Hashem's righteousness in his judgment. Bishas tziduk hadin. Right at that moment, they were able to come up with this and respond accordingly. Tana Rabbanan. So here we're going to have a little background to the story regarding Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan. Kishachala Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, when Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma fell ill, very ill, halach Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan levakra. He had a visitor. Rabbi Chanina came to visit him. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yosef turns to his guest. I heard that you're endangering yourself. You're putting yourself in sakana by defying the Romans and teaching Torah in full view, in public. Amar lo, Chanina achi, my brother Chanina achi, iyati yedeya. Don't you know that they're in charge today? They're in control. Why are you placing yourself in outright danger? Don't you know that it was from heaven that they were given this power? She destroyed his home, burnt his abode, Vargas Chasidav, and killed his righteous, but of the Stuvav, and destroyed the best men. And they're still ruling. So basically, we're meant to lie low, don't we? And I hear about you that you're sitting and learning. Not only learning yourself, you're imparting on others, you're teaching gatherings of people in public. You say, and you have a Sefer Torah on your lap. Why would you do that? He responded, not to worry. I'm doing my job. Min Hashemayim Yirachmu. Hashem will have rachmanus. Amalei, he says to him, look, I'm speaking to you words of reason, and this is how you respond. Ani Amalei Chadvam Shaltam. But when you respond with the rachmanus, but Amalei Min Hashemayim Yirachmu, you say, well, there'll be rachmanus. Tameyani, I will be surprised. Im lo yisrfu eischa ves sefer Torah beish. They don't burn you with the Sefer Torah. Amalei, so Rabbi Chanina responded, Rebbe, my teacher, Ma ani l'chay Elam Haba? Am I going to get to Elam Haba? And the Farshim endeavored to explain this deeper meaning behind this exchange. What are you doing? He says, Hashem will take care of me, Rachmanas. And he says, well, you'll be burnt. And he says, well, what about Elam Haba? So some explain that it wasn't meant for an ordinary person to endanger himself like that. But he felt that he's doing it l'shem shemayim, and in that sense, you can go ahead and do whatever you need to do in pursuit of Torah, in pursuit of mitzvahs, even if it's a shas hashmad, even if he's endangering himself. So he says to him, Mani l'chayil ma'ba, am I going to be zoich ha'tel ma'ba, or am I forfeiting my chayil ma'ba by just endangering myself? Amar lo, he said, look, it depends on your stature. A man of high stature is allowed to go the extra mile, go the extra step, to even endanger himself with the Sefer Torah, for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of Yiddishkeit. Amar lo, he said, I have a question for you, which will be indicative of your level of your Mesiris Nefesh. He says, Klu Masa Bal Yotcha, do you have any story, you know, to tell about your, you know, sacrifice for... Amal, he says, look, I have that story that we mentioned yesterday. Moy Shal Purim, Mischafli Moy Shal Tzedaka. I had to set aside money for Purim expenses, and I mistakenly thought it was Tzedaka, and I distributed it to the poor, V'chalakti Melaniyim, and I didn't receive compensation. It was money that I laid out, my own money, I gave away for tzedakah. Be more serious nefesh. Amar lo, he said, oh, imkein, if you're willing to give up all that money for Torah, for Tzedakah, for Chesed, then in fact, that's certainly a confirmation that you're on a high level, a high stature, and go ahead, sure. Keep on going. Mechalko yechalki, umigarocha yegaroli, I wish. I will have a portion together with you. I will have an inheritance of Lahamba together with you. Mechalkecha yechalki, my chalik should be part of yours, and my girl, my lot, I should share your lot. And in fact, his prediction came true. He was caught by the Romans. Amru, it was said, Lehoyu yomim mo'atim. Just a couple of days passed, not very long thereafter, Acha niftar, Abyesi ben Kisma, Abyesi passed away. And sure enough, all the big guys of Rome came to participate in his funeral. He was a noted Jewish leader. They came to join. V'ispidu hespid gadol. Eulogized him, a great eulogy. U'b'chazarasin. And lo and behold, on their way back from the funeral, matzu, they encountered the Rabbi Chanina ben Tradya. What was he doing? Shu yoshev oisek b'Torah. U'makil chilos b'rabim. In fact, he was sitting and teaching Torah to the public. V'yosef b'Torah. Munach le'becheke, holding a Sefer Torah. They arrested him and they burnt him. V'yu v'chachru b'Sefer Torah. They arrested him, they wrapped him up with the Sefer Torah. V'yikifu b'chevel ezmoiris, and surrounded him with vine twigs, flammable material, v'tzizu b'nei sa'ur, and they ignited in them a fire. V'yivu sfugin shel tzemer. Look at these wicked people, they brought these globs of wool, v'sharim b'mayim, and soaked him in water, v'dicham alib, and placed it on his heart to prolong his agony. K'desh le'tei nishmatzai, k'desh le'tei nishmatzai, nishmatzai mehiru, so that he doesn't die abruptly, to prolong his death. Amr le'bita, his daughter turned to him, in the moment that she says, Ab, my father, erecha b'kach, how can I see you in agony like this? Meaning, Rashi explains, k'leimar, what she meant to ask was, zui schorah shel Torah, this is the reward befitting a man who is Meisa Nefesh for Torah. How is it that you... Amar lo, he responds, Il malay aninas rafti levad. You know, if it were only me being burnt on my own, Haya hadavar koshali, it would be very difficult for me to endure. But now, Akshashan nisraf v'sefer Torah imi, now I'm being burnt, not myself, but together with the holy Sefer Torah. Where I'm in good company. Mishim avakish, El boinu shal Torah. Hashem was going to seek payback, revenge, retribution for the shame of the Sefer Torah, who yivakish al boini. He's going to account for me too and take care of me. Omer le'Talmidim, Talmidim asked him, Rabbi Mata Roya. So they heard some sort of crackling. What is it? What is it that you see? Anything special? He said, yeah. You're hearing what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing the following. Omer le'Han, Gilya nisrafen, Gvila nisrafen, the parchments are burning, right? But Va'oisi is parches, and the letters of the Sefer Torah are now ascending to heaven. That's what you're hearing, and that's what I'm seeing. So they said to him, look, Rabbi, shorten the experience, shorten the agony. Af'ata, psach picha, please open your mouth, allow the fire to enter. V'sikonis b'cha eish. Amal, and he says, no, chas v'shom, I can't do that. Mutav shi'itlena. Misha Nasana, better Hashem, who gave me life, should take it himself. Va'al yichabelu ba'atman, rather than the victim himself, bringing about his premature death. Even a moment of life is eternity. You can mizaycha to eternal schar, not the moment of mesiras nefesh, not the moment of emuna. But then the klatz tunidri, that was the executioner, turned to Rabbi Chanina. He says, Amar lo klatz tunidri, Rabbi. He was just doing his job, you know, and he felt bad for his victim. He says, Rabbi, mani marbim shall have us. What if I expedite the process? I increase the fire, and I remove that wet thing from your heart. Do you promise me a portion in the world to come? This time said, yeah, hey, yeah. And Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in his tshuva says it's a bit hard to understand why he acquiesced. On the one hand, he said, I can't shorten my life. right? Chayishah, even a moment of life is, right? Shortening a person's life, assisted suicide, that's murder, right? So why did he acquiesce to the fellow's request? He says, perhaps, you know, he's saying maybe a guy is different, but then he says, perhaps it was hira'ah sha'ah, it was just a time-related, heter, and we don't understand exactly what, the reasoning behind it. But in any case, he allowed him to do it. He said, okay, yishavali. And the executioner asked him, I want you to promise that I will get olam haba for doing that. Nishbalai, so he promised. Miyad, immediately he responded, hiru b'shal heves, notos fugin mal shamatzaron al liboi. He enhanced the fire and he removed the wet stuff. V'yatzon ishmas mehira, and immediately Ruchinina died. Afu kafatz v'nafal l'toychaur. And this guy immediately jumped into the fire as well. Perhaps he knew that he was going to be punished for doing that, so he jumped into the fire. Yatza baskal v'amra, and the baskal called out and said, Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan and his executioner, v'klatz t'nuiri, mizumhanenein l'chayim abo, and v'yatayim abo. When Rebbe heard this story, he again cried and he said, look, with a split moment critical, life-altering decision, you can be koine olam haba, like this guy. Bacha Rebbe v'omar, yeish koine olam habisha achas. One can acquire olam haba in one moment, in a split second decision. V'yeish koine olam habisha kamishanim, but typically, it takes many years of effort to earn olam haba. So he was put to death, Hashem Yikom Damai, and Bruria, who was another daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan, was very distressed that her sister was placed with the immoral women there. Bruria, who was Dvisud Rameir, the wife of Rameir, she happened to be the wife of Rameir, and she was Barti, another daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan. Havoi she was. Amra loy. So Bruria turned to Rabbi Meir, her husband. I can't swallow that my sister is stuck over there in those dark places. Zila be milsa, it's embarrassing for me. It's inappropriate. The osvach asoy bekubah shal zoynus, to have my sister be in the company of those women. We have to get her out. Okay, says Rabbi Meir, I'm going to try. Shokal tarkav the din. Rabbi Meir grabbed a bucket full of gold coins. Tarkav is trei v'kav. Two kav and another kav. So three pounds of coins to try to pay her way out. Vaz only went to find her. Amar, and he figured like this. I'm going to need a special miracle to get her out. If she's pure, if she's innocent, if she resisted all temptation to sin, then she will merit a miracle and I will be successful. So let's see. Amar, he says, Eloi is avad b'yisura. No isur was done with her. Miss Avad Nisa, we will experience a miracle, we'll get her out. I Avdi Isura, but otherwise, if she did something wrong, Lays Avad Nisa, she won't have a miracle. How am I going to test her? Ozal Nakat Nafshei, so he appeared, he dressed himself up like a horse rider, a traveler, like a chad, parsha, like a businessman, like a horse rider. And he approached her. Amrla Hashmi'ini Li. Could you spend time with me? Amrla, she says, no, Dishtana. I'm right now in the midst of a period. Ishtana, no, it's not going to work. Amar lo, he says, okay, I have time, I'll wait. Masrach no mertach. Amar lo, she responds to him, what are you wasting your time? Nafish and Tuva, there's so many other women here. Because Tuva, Hachad, Afshir, and they're nicer than me. Go find somebody else. Amar, says her mayor, apparently, she's holding up. Shema minoli of the Isura, she has not sinned. Because just like she's saying that to me, she says that to everybody. Kodo, soy, anybody that approaches her, Amalayachi, she discourages with these words. Okay. If she's pure, now she'll have a miracle. Let me try to get her out. Ozal Gabi Shemer Dido. So he approached her guard. She had a personal guard. Amarlay says, Havani Allah. Please let her go. Amarlay. So the guard says, what do you mean? I got my sergeant above me. I'm going to be in trouble if I let her go. Mistafin Malchus, I'm afraid of Malchus. Amalei says, oh, look, I got a bucket of something interesting for you. Here. Shkol Dako the dinner, take these coins. Palga Plach, half of it is to pay off your superiors. So whenever they come and bug you about it here. You'll pay them off bit by bit. The other half is for your good fortune. Amar Leisa, the fellow responds, "V'chishalmi mayavid. What do I do if I run out of coins? I need more to pay off my superiors. So basically, they're going to keep on coming back, and I'm going to have to keep on paying them off. What happens when I run out?" Amar Leisa says, "In that case, I'll give you a secret weapon. Ema, you'll just say the following words, three words, magic words: Elaka, the mayor, the god of mayor, of Reb Meir, Aneini, help me, save me." And that's going to do the trick. Umatatzlas, the Lashon of Hatzal, you'll be saved, don't worry. So that's a good backup, okay? If you run out of money, if you run out of physical means, right, he wanted to give him Abidera Chateva, by laws of nature, right? Before resorting to a miracle, wanted to give him a derech ha-teva. If you're stuck, this is a good back. Amalisa, the fellow was a bit skeptical. He says, "I never heard of this formula. These magic words. Who says it works? Who says it works? Amalisa, Reb Meir says, we'll give it a test. We'll put it to test. Hash to chazis. Look, now you'll see. So havuhanu kalvi." There were these really ferocious dogs that would gobble people up. You know, very dangerous dogs. Reb Meir instigated them. Shokal Kalit grabbed this glob of dirt. Shadbu, and he threw it at the dogs. They were about to come attack him. Amar, Reb Meir gets up and says, Alako, Debir Aneni, Shavku. As soon as he said it, they backed off. So it worked. Okay, you have a lay, said the... When he saw that it's a sure thing, he handed the woman to Reb Meir. Turns out he got into trouble, the big trouble. The authorities heard about it. Asua, they arrested him. Askol Eskiva, they put him up on the pole to hang him. No, he was stuck. So what did he do? The magic words. Omar, he says, Achso, they had to drop him. It didn't work. They could not punish him. There was something, inhibiting it. Amr Lehi said, "We're stumped. We can't get you hung. What's going on? What did you say? What did you do?" My high. Amr Lehi says, so he spilled the beans. Hachi have a mas. I'll tell you the whole story. He told him the whole story. Nope. So now they were after Amir. He was going to be arrested. Asu, they came. Chakuhul ed Musa. They took his figure, his image, and they engraved it. Ed Musa de Ramey, the picture of Ramey, they engraved a pisca de Ramey at the entranceway to Rome, and they said, he's the FBI's most wanted. Call Amri, they said, call the Chag Batsuva. They never sees this man anywhere. If you see this face, this image, Lysay, bring him in to the authorities. So happens one day, they tracked him down. Chazu. Rohut Abasre, they chased him. Rot Mikhaimayu, he tried to escape. So he's going to run to Alabi Zoynes. He ran to the place of the Zoynes, figuring that they wouldn't expect him to be there. Ikad Amri says, some say, to enhance his cover, he noticed this pot of non-Jewish cooked food, which is usher to eat, so he attempted to give it a taste so that again he should appear not to be Jewish. Tamash Baha, so he stuck in one finger, let's say the index, Umasak Bani licked the other finger. So he appeared to be tasting the food, and in reality he wasn't. Ikad Amri, some say, Asaliyo, Elyonovi quickly came and appeared to them like a zoyna. Karchase, she ran, wrapped him. And now they said, oh, this must not be Reb Meir. Reb Meir doesn't do these types of things. Amri chas v'sholom, it can't be Reb Meir. If he was really Reb Meir, he wouldn't engage in this behavior. So they backed off and they resumed their search. And now he took the moment, took the opportunity, and he ran off. He fled. Come, he got up. Arak, osel, bavel. He ran off to bavel to get away from the Romans. Ikad Amri, Mehai Maisa, some say it was because of the story. Ikad Amri, some say he escaped to Bavel, Mimasa the Buria, because of another story that happened with his own wife. And Rashi brings it, it's a Gemara Kedushin, that one day Reb Meir was teaching that women, Adatan Kales, their minds aren't as focused as men, and his wife was not agreeable to it. And he said to her, look, one day you'll see that the words of the Chachamim are true, are real. And in order to prove his point, he got one of his students to tempt her to do Avera, and she eventually acquiesced. She in theory she acquiesced, and then he blew his cover, and she realized that she was that she failed the test, and she felt terrible, and she choked herself, and Ramir was very embarrassed and shamed from the story, and that's why he ran off. He relocated to Babel. Okay, so this pretty much wraps up the story of Rav Hanina ben Tzradyan and his family, the Sefer Nefesh V'Torah that he exhibited, but ultimately he was punished severely. The Gemara explains his the chet that he had, and for a man on his level, it was deserving of this type of terrible punishment. His wife was punished as well, and so was his daughter, who ultimately was rescued by Ramir. By the way, this is where the chant Elokod Me'arneni comes from, right? There's a special tzedaka, Ramir Balanes. There's a minig in time of need. We put money into that tzedaka pushka. It was a tzedaka established in his name. It wasn't Ramir Balanes' tzedaka, but it was a tzedaka in Eretz Yisrael, which was established in his memory, in his name. It was called the Kol of Rabbi Meir Balhanes, Rabbi the Man of Miracle. And traditionally, people use it for times of need and chant this three-letter magic, so to speak, this tefillah, right? This tremendous tefillah, Kol Demei Arneini. And there are many, many stories of Yeshua's resulting from this okay, Tanu Rabbanan. So we have a braisa, ha'ilach litzadinin, a fellow who attends the stadiums where they have these bullfights. These are not places that Yidden are meant to be. Places of frivolity, places where the goyim just wallow away their time, and litzanus and emptiness. So a fellow who attends these places, Ulacharkim, Rashi says Charkim is a matzar, where the goyim come and they surround the city in siege, so they party while they're doing it. A fellow who comes and joins these goyim, V'roshem is a nachoshem, and goes and watches the all these magicians, V'asa chaverin, they're animal magicians, Boikun, Mukun, Mulyun, V'lulyun, all different types of comedy shows, and Blurin, Salgurin, all different types of Harizim, Meshav Leitzim. He should know that he's joining something called Moishav Leitzim, a setting of frivolity. Valei Makos of Omer, on which the Pasuk says, keep far away, Ashrei Ish, fortune is the man who takes his life more seriously than wallowing away with these empty, useless, frivolous activities. Ashrei Ish, Asher Lo Yehalach, Ki Im B'Torah Hashem Chefzei, rather, he delves himself into Torah. Halamanta, we learn from here that it's a contrast. It's either or. Either it's a meaningful life of Torah or a life of frivolity. Halamanta, Shadvar Malol, these types of activities, Mevi'in Asal De'Bitl Torah. They bring a person to lose his time from learning. Ramini Bavakasha. A braisa, which allows us to attend. Hochan, you can go Litzta Dinin. Motor, it's okay, because it's an opportunity to go and yell and scream and try to get the Jew. Sometimes they used to victimize Yidden. They used to pit him up against the bulls, try to get him out of there. So his intentions are good and noble. Ulucharkim, Motor, likewise, to join the siege, to go see what's going on there is okay. Why? Nation Medina, because it might he might be able to assist in saving the town that's being attacked. So you can go there. As long as he doesn't join, you know, join their team. If he actually joins up with them, reinforces their efforts, that's of course also. So we have a stira, an apparent contradiction. Earlier we said we cannot, you're not meant to attend these things at all, and here it says you can go. Kasha charkem racharkem. Likewise, earlier it says you shouldn't join the siege, and here it says you could. Answer is, second question could be answered. Like Kasha, the answer is come by Mischash v'imayim. Depends if he's actually joining them. To be counted in as a soldier, that's not allowed. You can't join them. Kan, b'she'emes chashimon, he's not really joining them, he's just going there to spy them out and to try to get them to abort their attack. That's okay. Ela itzadinen, asinin kashi. What are the other kashi? Can you join the itzadinen or not? Tanoi, it's machlekes tanoi. Tanoi, the sani, we have one brisa which says you shouldn't join at all. Ein hoichel itzadinen, mei meishav leitzim, because you're taking a risk. You're exposing yourself to leitzonas. So even though your intentions are perhaps noble, you try to help protect the yid that's there, but you're taking a chance. You're exposing yourself to this type of culture, which is certainly detrimental for the slight chance that, you know, one in a million might be able to be helpful in saving a Jew. That doesn't justify. Reb Nosson Matir, he says you could. Mishnei Dvarim, for the following two reasons. As said before, Echad first is in order to save, potentially save a Jewish victim, who perhaps is being victimized there. Mishnei Tzevech or Matzel, he'll call out and he'll try to get him out. Ve'echad, secondly, if it's a Jewish victim that was killed there, he'll be there, he'll be present, he'll be able to testify to the court that in fact, this woman's husband was killed and now she's free to marry. So these are important things which justify attending these events. Tanu Rabbanan, ein holchen letartiyos lekar kasiyos. One should not attend these circuses and these types of things, because they're engaged now with the Zorah component. There's an Zorah component there. They prepare, they arrange for the Zorah. It's a place where they there's a Zorah activity taking place there as well. That's Rameir's opinion. Well, they say, look, it depends. If it's aligned with Avodah Zarah, Mokem Shemezablin Aser. If it's a place where they're organizing and arranging and putting together materials for the Avodah Zarah, then you shouldn't be there, even though you yourself are not participating in that particular component. Ibnei Chashad Avodah Zarah, because you shouldn't be suspected of cooperating with the Avodah Zarah. Umokem Shein Mezablin Sham, but it's a place where they're not engaged in the Avodah Zarah component. Then it's Asr Ibn Meshav Leitzim. It's Asr for a different reason, because it's a place of frivolity. Now, what's the difference between Rameh and the Chacham? They're both telling us not to go there. My Benayu. Amr Chanin Mesura depends. Let's say he did go. And he did do some business. He sold them some items. Nosa v'nosan ikubina. That's the difference. So according to Rameh, all these types of events are related to Avodah Zarah, and anything they purchase from you, there's a very real concern that it was for Avodah Zarah, and money that you got in exchange is considered Avodah Zarah money. You can't enjoy that, you can't benefit from the money. Whereas according to Chachamim, that's true, but only if it's known to be for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Otherwise, there would be no Isser after the fact, other than the fact that you were exposed to frivolity. Okay, further on this topic, Dorash Rabbi Shimon Pasi. We all know the first pasuk in Tehillah. My dechsev. What does the pasuk mean? Ashri ha'ish asher lo halach batzas rishoyim. Great is the man who didn't even walk along with the rishoyim. Ubederech hatoyim lo amad, nor did he stand with them. Ubmoishav leitzim lo yoshav, nor did he sit. I mean, if he didn't even go there, how could he come to stand or sit with them, right? If he didn't even walk along there, heichan amad, how did he get to stand with them? Umachash le'omad, if he didn't stand with them, heichan yoshav, certainly he wasn't sitting and spending time with them. Umachash le'yoshav, now if he wasn't sitting with them, heichan latz, how do you consider him to be a latz and having taken part in leitzanus and frivolity? He wasn't even there, he wasn't sitting. It's coming to teach you a great lesson. A great lesson. Yetzer hara doesn't just come and announce his presence. Look, I'm here, I'm the Yetzer hara. He comes in bit by bit. He sticks his foot in the door, then a little more, a little more. It's a step-by-step strategy. Elo lemlecha, the Patek is teaching us, look, don't let him in. Shut him out completely, because eventually he can gain full control and take you to places which you never expected to be taken to. Lemlach to teach you. Shim halach. So you see a group of people wallowing away. Oh, I'll just walk by, I'll catch a snippet. Oh, be careful, Shem Halach Seifel Lamed. Next step is he's going to stand and wait around and listen to them. If he stops to listen, Seifel Leish, eventually he's going to join them and sit down with them. Vim Yasha, and if that happens, Seifel Lolitz, he's going to be engaging in frivolity just like them. Don't think. He'll be immune. Vim Lotz, and in fact, if he engaged in late sonos, all of a kas of Omer, on whom the Pasuk says, it's your loss. Im chachach, chachamta, chachamta lach. Vim lasa levat chatisa. If you sought wisdom, fortunate are you. But if you sought late sonos, you fell into that, too bad for you. Omer v'lazak kolmas late says, you shouldn't burn olav. A person conducts himself with frivolity, a light, headedness, doesn't take life seriously. Hashem has no choice but to give him hardships to teach him his lesson. So a person takes life seriously, he doesn't need Yisur because he's on track. He's in there. He's paying attention. He's not perfect, but he's paying attention. But otherwise, if he's just flying around, taking life without seriousness, then sometimes there's no choice but to give him a little patch and Yisurim. To wake him up. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "V'at altis leitzus." So please, don't get involved in leitzonos. Pen yechzukum esrechem, because your yisurim might come upon you. Amalu Rava l'Rabban. Rava turned to the Rabban. He says, "Please, watch yourself." Matusa menaych. I beg you. Beinu menaych. I beg you. The leitzus leitzus. Don't get involved in leitzonos. The leilaisu alaychu yisurim. So that you not be exposed to yisurim. Amrav Katina kol misleitzis. One who is. Ms. Light says, Ms. Zainoisa, Ms. Martin. His parnasa diminishes. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Moshach Yodai, Hashem pulls back his hand, the big hand of Peseach Yodecha, the source of sustenance. Hashem constricts it, eslaitzitz him from the leitzonim. Omer Shimalakash Kol Meslaitzitz, likewise, a person who's engaged in leitzonim, Nefil Gehenim. Ultimately, he falls into Gehenim. It's a slippery slope. Shenemar, Yoim Evra Yamahu. It's the day of Evra. What is Evra? Evra is Gehenim. Amar Rabbi Yeshia. And this, by the way, is the second half of that pasuk, right? It says, Zayd Yohir Leitz Shemoi, Oise Be'evras Zodain. Sorry, let me just go back. Kol Mesleitz is Nevel Gehenim Shenemar, right? Zayd Yohir Leitz Shemoi, Oise Be'evras Zodain. So we see that Leitz leads to Evras, Vein Evra El Gehenim, right? Evra is Gehenim Shenemar, Yom Evra Yimau. Amar Rabbi Yeshia, Kol Mesiahir, likewise, a person's haughty. And again, not cognizant, not open to criticism, not open to bettering his ways. He's confident, a bit overconfident in his ways, in his tracks. Call him a siyar. Likewise, it's a slippery slope. There's one destination. Nifal b'gehenna, because he's not going to look to improve himself. Not going to be open to critique. How could he be successful? Shnemar zaid. Yahir is a haughty man, Leitz Shemoi. So we see that Leitzonis and Yehirus, haughtiness and frivolity, are sort of, close relatives. They're synonymous because it goes hand in hand. It's all good. No question. Right? And the result is, Oisev Evra Zadu. Right? The result is Evra. Ve'en Evra El Gehenim Shenemar, as we said, Yahim Evra Imo. Omer Rabbi Chaniloi, some say Rabbi Chanina, Bar Chaniloi, sorry, Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi, call him a Sloitzitz, anybody who's involved in Leitzonus, Gurim Klei Lo'ilam, he brings about destruction to the world. Shenema Va'ata also Tzitzitzu, Penyechzuku Maestrechem, Ki Kolo, Venechrotzo Shamati, so we see Leitzonus brings about Kloya destruction. Omer Belozer, Koshehi, Shetchilasa, Yisurin, Seifik Kloya. So it's honest, it's so difficult. It starts off with minor hardships, which are messages. But if they're unheeded, it could end up with Kloya destruction. Dorash, Rabbi Shimon Pasik. So back to that Pasik, Ashri Hayish, Ashalei Halach. And he breaks down the Pasik with each phrase, referring to a different experience of frivolity and lightheadedness. So, lucky is a person who did not attend these events, the Tartiois, the Karkisois, of the Goyim, Shleb Gichom. The next part of the pasuk, derech hatoim le'amad, that's referring to a person who resisted attending the Knigyon, where they have these animal fights. Zesh le'amad b'Knigyon. U'b'mayishav le'itzim le'yoshav is a person who avoided these groups of people engaged in meaningless conversation. Shel yoshav b'tachpulis. Okay, so now a person thinks, I kept away from all these activities, I take life seriously, I'm good to go. Shema yomer adam, perhaps a person can now satisfy himself by saying, look, since I did not go to these events, okay, so I'm okay. Eilech v'zgar b'shein, I'll go get involved in sleeping, which means to say, I'll just wallow away my time. No, that's only half the story. Great that you kept away. Great that you take life seriously. But now, fill your time with meaningful activity. Tamalema, the pasuk continues. Ubeis herasa yega yemem v'leila. It's great to get that out of the way. But the ultimate objective is ube teirasa yega yemem v'leila, to be fully immersed and engaged in Hashem's Torah, fill life with true meaning, and earn eternity. Okay, so to quickly summarize today's daf, we had Rav Chanina ben Tradin, who was arrested by the Romans and severely punished. And we learned many things. As this was going on, he said, not to worry, Hashem will account for me. I'm going up with the Sefer Torah, with the letters that are flying up. He adamantly refused to do anything, to do any act that would hasten his death. But he did allow the other fellow, the guy, to do so, and they both were Zeichet and Laba. We have the Chataim attributed to Rav Chanina ben Tradin, his wife and his daughter. His daughter was taken to this inappropriate setting and ultimately rescued by Rav Meir, Lekod Meir Aneni. On the second half of the daf, we have an elaborate analysis of the first couple of psukim and Sefer Tehillim, which is pretty much a life charter for a believing Jew. Fill life with meaning, with chachma, with teres Hashem chefzei, and block out all the other frivolous and meaningless empty activities that come and tempt us, assaulting us from all sides, all directions. Resist it. Block it out. All the best to you and atzlacha rabbah.